Good afternoon, and Sam has an awesome presentation. This is going to be hard to follow. So now that I've lowered everyone's expectations, I've been given the fortunate assignment of choosing those best practices in states that enhance their infrastructure and workforce capacity. While there's a specific section that goes to workforce capacity, I've chosen states whose best practices were in other areas technically were not best practices in workforce capacities, but whose very actions, whether it be in the core public health functions of assessment, policy development, and assurance, go to enhancing workforce capacity. So we're going to look at the ASTDD best practice approach reports in this area and cite examples of what some states have done to enhance workforce capacity. Within the three core public health functions of assessment, policy development, and assurance, we're going to look specifically at leadership development, improvements in infrastructure and capacity, and creative partnerships. In defining best practices in this area, like for all other best practices approaches, we're going to look at evidence-based approaches. So the strength of the evidence will vary and use different implementation methods, but should be supported by research, expert opinion, field lessons, or theoretical rationale. You can find all best practice approaches on the ASD website as listed. States are asked to submit their best practices that achieve some level of effectiveness, efficiency, sustainability, and collaboration. They also get the opportunity to discuss success stories as well as lessons learned so that other states can benefit. So specifically when discussing workforce development best practices with state oral health programs, workforce development is absolutely critical to state oral health programs in the states that they serve. In order to reduce health inequity with respect to oral health, there are two elements that support workforce. Workforce in the community capable of meeting the community's needs, and the workforce for the state oral health program itself. And the thing is that it's basically a feedback loop, is that if the state oral health program is able to enhance the community's workforce, this will feed back to the state oral health program in order that it continually be capable of meeting the community's needs. They're determinately linked at the hip. So I've selected states where the best practice may be within a core public health function that necessarily doesn't go to workforce development per se, but if successful, the activity supports such workforce development both in the community and in the state oral health program. And again, we're going to choose best practice approach reports that address all three core public health functions. And you can see what constitutes oral health strategies and activities within these public health functions. Assessment, of course, includes the state oral health surveillance system. Policy development includes oral health coalitions, state plans, and statutory authority for there to be a state oral health program, the so-called First Amendment. And finally, assurance, which includes addressing oral disease in children, special needs children and adults, and pregnant women, with, of course, our two evidence-based strategies in water fluoridation and school dental sealants. The activities constitute the basic functions the state oral health programs conduct or provide leadership and technical assistance in their respective states. So within the three core public health functions, we're going to look at, for assessment, Michigan with its efforts and improvements in infrastructure and development, Massachusetts and Maryland within policy development, and looking specifically at creative partnerships in leadership development, and in Wisconsin for its assurance activities with respect to improvements in infrastructure and development. All of these states end up addressing workforce development, although it's not maybe the intended target. But also note if you go to the ASTD website, here's just a sampling of those states who specifically address workforce development. This is quite an impressive listing. And why these specific domains within the core public health functions? Because each of them in their own right adds to state oral health program workforce capacity and development. Obviously, improvements in infrastructure and development directly gets the state oral health program capacity to perform key public health functions. But the same can be said for creative partnerships, which can leverage workforce resources, and for leadership development, which can provide the expertise and skills to direct a state in expanding oral health programs, policy, and workforce. So let's first look at Michigan. While strictly addressing assessment, their efforts in surveillance that was coordinated by state oral health program epidemiologists, which I believe is critical to fulfilling the role of state oral health programs, led to the development of a state surveillance system which addressed many areas and which included an analysis of dentist and dental hygienist workforce needs, and also identified data gaps and the funding needed to support a subsequent to support subsequent important activities, such as a state oral health plan and oral disease burden document. It all starts with data. Massachusetts addressed all three core public health functions in developing a special legislative commission on oral health to address various aspects of oral health needs in the community. It was comprised of an eclectic group of stakeholders who were charged to make a variety of oral health recommendations. I'm not going to read all that they accomplished, but as you can see, not only did the recommendations lead to an impressive array of improvements in the Medicaid dental program and the public health dental safety net, both in individual provider offices and schools, but it also led to an expansion of the oral health workforce in the community and the state oral health program itself. Maryland's program comprehensively addressed all three core public health functions, as you can see here, utilizing data to drive both policy and programmatic initiatives after the death of a young 12-year-old Maryland child, Diamante Driver, because of an untreated dental infection that spread to his brain. His death, as unfortunate and tragic as it was, led to a series of reforms, which included expansion of the oral health workforce both in the community and in the state oral health program. A considerable workforce expansion occurred as a result of recommendations and related funding upon the death of this child, and significant outcomes resulted from these workforce expansions, both in the private sector as well as the dental public health safety net. Important oral disease reduction outcomes resulted in part from these workforce expansions. And just to prove I'm not partial to states that start with an M, I chose one with an upside down M that is truly a stellar example of a workforce development best practice. Wisconsin's school dental sealant program, a prevention program, also addressed many aspects of all three core public health functions, with a special emphasis on improvements in infrastructure and development, both in the community, including the State Oral Health Coalition leading the effort with state oral health program support, and the state oral health program itself. As you can see, there were significant expansions in state and private funding, the number of schools and children impacted by the programs, and the dental workforce both in the community and state oral health program. And there were significant programmatic outcomes resulted from these expansions, including a drop in untreated dental decay rates, dental caries experience, as well as an increase in at-risk students receiving dental sealants. The school sealant program is the gold standard that we all look to, and it's been recognized both in the state and by our federal supporters. So in conclusion, state oral health programs are critical to oral health workforce development in the community, which, if successful, as all these best practices examples in Michigan, Massachusetts, Maryland, and Wisconsin were, can then feed back to requiring needed workforce in the state oral health program itself. Learning about what works best in a state with respect to workforce development, or really any other oral health function, can offer new ideas and display promising new models to adapt, as well as learn what worked and didn't work and why. Workforce development is a critical area to continually address for state oral health programs if they are to carry out the core public health functions which can make the surrounding community and the state oral health program itself develop successful and sustainable oral health programs. Thank you. And I think now we're going to have a reaction from Dr. Capello.
Good afternoon. I was asked to talk a little bit today about the dental public health specialty programs and opportunities for collaboration. I want to just emphasize that the collaborations between ASTDD and AAPHD have been strong, continue throughout many. I know most of you are aware that we collaborate on the National Oral Health Conference, but there are so many other collaborations between the two organizations, and wanted to share the educational collaborations that we have today. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so I'm just a little background. Most of you are already aware of the American Association of Public Health Dentistry and what we do, but I just thought I would provide just a little background. So dental public health as a specialty has been in existence since 1950, and AAPHD is the sponsoring organization for the specialty. So we have a history of educating dental specialists in dental public health. Currently, right now, there are approximately 160 dentists who are specialists, who are specialists in dental public health. And these specialists have received additional training after their dental experience in public health and then in a residency training, and have challenged an examination by the American Board of Dental Public Health for certification. But there are a number of dentists also who have received the training and not challenged the board exam, and those board eligible dentists also have that specific training and compose the dental public health workforce, and are both specialists in that area, have certification in that area. So AAPHD provides expertise in population-based oral health, surveillance, policy development, workforce, oral health promotion, disease prevention for both individuals and populations, and maintenance of the dental safety net. But we don't do this alone at AAPHD. APHA, of course, ASTDD, and other organizations contribute to this daunting task that we work on every day. So a little bit about the specialty of dental public health and where we are. We currently have 16 dental public health residency programs across the U.S. and Canada, and this is increasing. We have now a number of programs that are starting that are new in the past few years. So what we see is that there's an increase in training opportunities for dental public health residents. Right now, as some of you may be aware or may not be aware, AAPHD and the American Board of Dental Public Health together are up in the process of updating the competencies related to specialty training in dental public health. And this provides us with a unique opportunity also to look at the definition of the specialty of dental public health. And I put the definition of the specialty here, which is defined from the definition of public health, which is appropriate since it's where we're closely linked. But what you may not know is that the AAPHD is now a leader in dental public health education for graduate and undergraduate dentists and dental hygienists in the U.S. Through a grant, a HRSA grant that we received, the AAPHD had received, it was the principal investigators were Anna Karina Mascarenhas and Dr. Catherine Atchison. They developed a set of competencies and curriculum for dental and dental hygiene schools and programs across the U.S. This curriculum is now going to be made available to schools who don't have that dental public health infrastructure within schools and are able to have this information presented either through an online curriculum or through a speakers bureau. So if they don't have the faculty expertise, a speakers bureau is available to provide that educational content. Why I'm telling you this is because this positions AAPHD as a leader in both graduate and undergraduate dental public health education across the country. So now a little bit about what you've already heard about workforce, much more eloquently than I can say. But when we talk about dental public health expertise, state oral health programs need sufficient and educated workforce to address the core public health functions and across many disciplines. But I'm going to focus on specifically on dental public health today. As was mentioned already, the description of the dental public health workforce is a bit elusive, and we don't really know exactly who makes up the dental public health workforce. It's been an issue that we've tried to discuss for many years and define it for many years and have not yet come to a clear definition of what the dental public health workforce is. But it is critical to know what the dental public health workforce is, so it's critical to have that knowledge for the operation succession planning and to describe the needs in state oral health programs. So again, several of the previous speakers have used the National Public Health Strategic Roadmap to talk about or to define workforce, and I'll do the same, and I'll look at four roadmap descriptions that were outlined previously. I'm going to talk about two of those that I think relate strongly to dental public health. So the first one is to enhance the educational system at multiple levels. And I think this is something, this is one of the strategic pieces of the roadmap that AAPHD actually can do well and motivate the integration of population health into professional education. In both directions, dental education, integrating public health into dental education, and integrating oral health into public health educational programs. I can tell you when I first I'll tell you a personal story. When I started my PhD in epidemiology, I was given an advisor. And the justification for the advisor was in the area of nutrition, because you use your teeth to chew food. And that was the justification for putting me in, which, when you think about a school of public health and using that rationale to assign a faculty member to a student, it's a little odd. I wasn't considered in chronic disease. I wasn't considered an infectious disease. I was considered to be a part of nutrition because you use your teeth to chew. But that's where public health, that's where oral health is in many schools of public health. It's just not on the radar. So it's a bi-directional need to integrate oral health and population health into professional health. Expanding practice-based population health in schools and programs of public health and in dentistry as well. Focusing on faculty development. It's important to integrate public health, not just, you know, in many of our schools of oral of dentistry, dental public health is taught didactically in the first year. When students get into the clinic, either they practice in a community dentistry setting, which they perceive as dental public health, or it's ignored altogether or poo-pooed by others. So there is a barrier that we have to overcome in the dental school, focusing on building that faculty relationship. And that is the same in a school of public health as well. The understanding of how oral health fits into a school of public health in all aspects of public health. We should be talking about community water fluoridation in an environmental health course, for example. Another point is to enhance interprofessional education in teams. And I know Dr. Dinard spoke yesterday very eloquently about interprofessional teams. We focus a lot on the terms interprofessional education, but I think that we need to move on to the practice of interprofessional teams as a part of student learning and other learning. And influence board certifications and licensure of individuals and accreditation of educational institutions. The second roadmap description that I want to just touch on briefly is to increase capability of existing workforce. And so there are three areas here where AAPHD can work with ASTDD to do this: by defining target skills and competencies, expand training for defined skills and competencies, and to develop robust leader and leadership development offerings. And these are opportunities for AAPHD and ASTDD to collaboratively work together to build these structures. Bev Eisman clearly outlined most of these already, why are we concerned about the workforce challenges? And so, we have leadership of the full-time state dental director is defined as a key infrastructure element in 2020, Healthy People 2020. So it's actually now brought as a key element that we need to address, and these two bullets: 45% of states had no local government oral health programs managed by a dental public health professional. I'm going to try to move that away. Um, and and 45% of state programs have no more than 3 FTEs in the state oral health program. So these are challenges that are faced every day in the operation of a state oral health program. And so the question is, how can AAPHD work with ASTDD and ADEA to enhance the educational capacity of the state oral health workforce? And that's one of the challenges that we face. So where do we stand now? Currently, we're aware of two state dental directors who are board certified and 3 dentists who are board eligible across the U.S. So what educational competencies does AAPHD need to develop to address the needs of the state oral health programs? And I'm probably going to provide more questions today than I am answers. So ASTDD developed competencies, and those competencies are available for state oral health programs. And now we need, I think, to talk about how those competencies can fit into the dental public health specialty curriculum, and if they'll fit into the dental public health specialty curriculum. And, or maybe, should ASTDD and AAPHD collaborate to develop an educational program specifically related to state oral health programs? And so maybe that's another option that we can consider. But then if we do build that, would there be a demand? And would there be buy-in for such a program? I mentioned already a long history of collaboration between AAPHD and ASTDD, but I wanted to also mention that what opportunities have been out there for residency directors for many years now, and I know my residents have taken this opportunity to develop policy and work with ASTDD in the opportunity to develop policy, and Dr. Jordan developed a policy paper that will be rolled out very soon as a part of her residency program with Dr. Mary Tavares as well. We also looked at opportunities for ASTDD to utilize the curriculum that was developed by Dr. Mascarenhas and Dr. Acheson that AAPHD now has as an educational opportunity for state oral health programs. And that's another way that we could possibly link together and collaborate. So what are the challenges ahead? I would probably ask more questions than I answered, and this is where I do that. But the questions are, how will we educate a competent public health workforce to address the oral health needs in each state? And I think that's something that we have to begin to dialogue about, to look at seriously at how we can both sustain programs, state oral health programs, and build additional capacity. And what level of education and experience is necessary to sustain and expand the capacity of the state oral health workforce? And finally, should we look at opportunities to expand an educated public health dentistry workforce? And one of the opportunities that AAPHD is looking at is potential graduate or additional training for dental hygienists and dental public health as well. So with that, I thank you, and I will open it up for questions for all of us.
Okay, thank you all very much. In addition to opening it up for questions, we would be more than happy to entertain suggestions in addition. So go ahead, Amos.
Should I be disappointed in the position that you talk about the oral health workforce, and I heard absolutely no mention made of the medical side of the healthcare paradigm? OB, pediatrics, family medicine, and internal medicine. Silence. Should they be members of your oral health team? I think they should be. They're not mentioned.
My focus
can you repeat the question and speak into the microphone?
I can repeat Amos's question.
But he needs to speak into
the microphone. What's that?
It's being recorded.
My question is, should I be disappointed that in this discussion about the oral health workforce, I heard absolutely no mention made of the medical side of the healthcare paradigm. The mouth is part of the body. OBGYN, pediatrics, family medicine, and internal medicine, I think, should be included in some way. But there was no mention made of them.
Briefly, but I think what we were talking about really is state oral health program workforce. You know, we're not talking about the whole oral, everything we can throw at oral health, basically. So I think that's what David was asked to react to, was our own within state oral health programs development. We'd love to have physicians in our office too, believe me, that would really be something. But, you know, at this point, I think that's what really was the focus of this.
My focus was specifically to address the dental public health specialist position. So it included specifically just the dental public health specialty workforce.
All right, so thank you, Bev, for giving us a great overview of the issues that are affecting state oral health programs. And so today I'll be speaking about the existing workforce strategies we identified that are used in other public health sectors that are relevant to oral health programs. So this is a workforce strategy roadmap, and you can see in the handout that Bob had on the back of it, you can get a better view of it. And basically, this roadmap provides an overview of strategies that are being pursued nationally to strengthen the public health and healthcare workforce capacity. This particular roadmap was conceptualized during a CDC summit, which brought together key stakeholders from across the nation and from many different public health sectors. Many of these strategies identified on the roadmap are relevant to state oral health programs, and in the next slide, I'll highlight a few specific strategies. The goal of workforce strategies is to ensure an adequate and competent staff. Recruitment, retention, and competency of staff are each important considerations. Recruitment efforts are needed to attract qualified potential workers and those in the pipeline. And recruitment strategies are necessary to ensure an adequate number of workers and prevent positions from remaining vacant or being eliminated. Retention strategies aim to keep current workers from leaving the workforce. And retention of workers is important to prevent the loss of long-term experience, maintain community connectedness, and keep the institutional memory of highly experienced staff. The most important incentives for recruiting and retaining an adequate public health workforce have been identified as access to advanced education, competitive pay and benefits, flexible work schedules and telecommuting opportunities, and early succession planning. Competency strategies ensure the skills and experience of workers. Lifelong learning and workforce development programs are critical to ensuring the competency of workers. Difficulties training staff have been shown to lower capacity of a public health agency to effectively deliver essential services. So this slide provides an overview of some of the cross-cutting workforce strategies that can be utilized by state oral health programs to address these issues of recruitment, retention, and competency. Strategic workforce planning includes career development and succession planning, and it's more than just a collection of different workforce strategies. It's the anticipatory focus on building leadership capacity. Lack of continuity in state oral health program leadership is a serious problem and can interfere with long-term program goals and outcomes. Additionally, workers are more likely to stay in jobs that offer opportunities for career advancement. Essentially, strategic workforce planning is a human resource process, and it's an important process to make sure that agencies have, again, like Bev was saying, the right number of people with the right skills in the right jobs at the right time. Basically, it's stepping back to take a bird's eye view of the program to assess the skills, competencies, and abilities of current workers, and then looking forward to determine what will be needed from workers in the future. And then using all of this information to come up with a plan that includes recruitment, retention, and competency strategies which prepare the program for its future workforce needs. There are many benefits to strategic workforce planning, including improved preparation for leadership, faster replacement of key leaders, and decreased recruitment costs. Another cross-cutting workforce strategy that's used in other public health sectors is rehiring retirees. Many state programs actively seek to rehire retired employees on a part-time basis. Retirees can be valuable resources to serve as teachers and mentors for future leaders. And retirees can also be brought on to finish short-term projects or serve as project consultants, particularly with projects or tasks related to data, policy, strategic planning, grant writing, or evaluation. Recruiting retired workers can help to avoid the loss of institutional knowledge and retain highly skilled employees while allowing more time for succession planning efforts. Resource sharing and collaborative partnerships are workforce strategies which can help state oral health programs address recruitment, retention, and competency issues by leveraging relationships with other sectors. This can help state oral health programs accomplish equal or greater health improvements without overburdening their current staff. It also helps to keep oral health programs aligned with the current trend for more integration. Public health has traditionally been siloed into vertical, discipline-specific programs, such as oral health. Now, public health is moving towards an increasingly interdisciplinary field with more generalists. It's important to promote stronger connections between oral health programs and other departments to develop interdisciplinary combined methods that address oral health, which means that state oral health programs must reach beyond their silos to assure the full complement of skill sets and competencies needed. Major groups that are important to state oral health programs include statisticians, communication specialists, legal experts, epidemiologists, and grant writers. In addition to partnering with other disciplines outside of oral health, it's also important to consider cross-training state oral health program workers to be skilled in a range of public health settings. A recent study assessed the priorities, needs, and characteristics of the governmental public health workforce. The figure on this slide summarizes the knowledge, skills, and attitudes needed among today's public health workers. And state oral health programs should consider these attributes when developing recruitment, retention, and competency efforts to ensure that they have a responsive, diverse, and elastic workforce. The priorities for workforce development include systems thinking, persuasive communication, change management, information and analytics, problem solving, and working with diverse populations. So, I mean, these are just some general strategies that were identified from other public health sectors, but as Bev was mentioning before, you know, there's the reality in which it exists. So these are the suggestions, but it's really every state oral health program is different and unique, and they vary in size, structure, resources, and focus. So ultimately, each program must decide which workforce strategies are feasible and appropriate for the specific state. So Dr. Goodman actually is going to give us a few examples from states that have actually been implemented, and it'll help to give a little bit of context for these suggestions.